Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari. Vallabha Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari. Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Dana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Tiravanachari, Yamuna Tiravanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Purvajakacharya Astotra Satyashi Shimadas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Purvajakacharya Astotra Satyashi Shimadas Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnav Rindi Ki Jai Iskan BBD Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Seko Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Babu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadad Harshi Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavindam Ki Jai. Mayapurdam Ki Jai. Yamunamai Ki Jai. Gangamai Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtai Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauri Pachayani Nirvishesha Sanivadi Pastyadadi Sitarini. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 23, and today we're doing 60, 61, and 62. It's a lot of text, it's a little unwieldy, but we'll do 60 and 61, and then we'll do 62 responsively. Chitrajalpera dasha anga prajalpa dinama Brahmara gita radasha shloka tahate pramana. Mad emotional talks include 10 divisions called prajalpa and other names. An example of this is the 10 verses spoken by Srimati Radharani called the Song to the Bumblebee. short purport. Imaginative mad talks, known as chitra jalpa, can be divided into 10 categories: prajalpa, parijalpa, vijalpa, ujalpa, sanjalpa, avajalpa, abijalpa, ajalpa, pratijalpa, and sujalpa. There are no English equivalents for those different features of jalpa, imaginative talk. And there'll be a quiz at the end of class on that. Text 61. Udgorna vival vivasha cheshta divyonmadanama virahe Krishna sporti apanake Krishna jnana. Udgorna, unsteadiness, and vivasha cheshta, boastful activities, are aspects of transcendental madness. In separation from Krishna, one experiences the manifestation of Krishna, and one thinks oneself to be Krishna. And text 62 will do in the normal way. Samboga vipralamba bede dvividha shringara. Sambhogera ananta anga nahi antatara. Samboga vipralamba bede dvividha shringara. Sambhogera ananta anga nahi antatara. Samboga vipralamba bede dvividha shringara. Sambhogera ananta anga nahi antatara. Everyone chant. Samboga vipralamba bede dvividha shringara. Vipralamba bede dvividha shringara. Sambhogera ananta anga nahi antatara. Sambhoga vipralamba bede dvividha shringara. Sambhogera ananta anga nahi antatara. Babede dvividha singara. Sambhogera ananta anga nahi antatara. Sambhoga vipralamba bede dvividha singara. Sambhogera ananta anga nahi antatara. Sambhoga vipralamba bede dvividha shringara. Sambhoga of meeting. Enjoyment together. Vipralamba of separation. Bede in two divisions. Dvividha shringara, two kinds of conjugal love. Sambhogera of the stage of sambhoga or meeting. Ananta anga. Unlimited parts. Nahi, not. Anta, an end. Tara, of that. In conjugal love, shringara, there are two departments, meeting and separation. On the platform of meeting, there are unlimited varieties that are beyond description. Purport. Vipralamba is described in the Ujjwala Nilamani, Vipralamba Prakarana, text 3 and 4. Yunor ayuktayor bhavo yuktayor vata yomita abhishtalinganadinam anavapto prakrishyate sa vipralambo vigyaya sambhoganati karaka navina vipralambena samboga pushtim ashnute. When the lover and the beloved meet, they are called yukta, connected. Previous to their meeting, they are called ayukta, not connected. Whether connected or not connected, the ecstatic emotion arising due to not being able to embrace and kiss each other as desired is called vipralamba. This vipralamba helps nourish emotions at the time of meeting. Similarly, samboga is described in the following verse, quoted from the Vedic literature by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Anubhashya. Darshanalinganadinam anukulyan nishevaya yunor ulasam arohan bhava samboga iryate. Meeting each other and embracing each other are aimed at bringing about the happiness of the lover and the beloved. When this stage becomes increasingly jubilant, the resultant ecstatic emotion is called samboga. When awakened, samboga is divided into four categories. Purvaraga anantara, after purvaraga, attachment prior to meeting. Samboga is called brief, sankshipta. Mana anantara, after mana, anger based on love. Samboga is called encroached, sankirna. Kinchidura pravasa anantara, after being a little distance away from for some time, samboga is called accomplished, sampana. 4, sudura pravasa anantara, after being far away, samboga is called perfection, samriddhiman. The meeting of the lovers in dreams also have these four divisions. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadadesha Tarine. I'm really afraid that I've bitten off more than I can chew for this class, but Prabhupada presents these things, so they're worthy of discussion, so I'll do my best. I'm going to start with a little summary. I usually don't like summaries in Bhagavatam classes because it's telling stories that we all already know. But I think the context of what we're learning here, the progression that it's gone through, is interesting and helpful. So going back quite a few verses, Mahaprabhu describes to Sanatana Goswami, first one develops eagerness to associate with the Lord. Then when one becomes attached to chanting, Namagana Sada Ruchi, Laya Krishna Nam, when one has that strong attachment to hearing and chanting about the Lord, that's called bhava bhakti, or that's the symptom of bhava bhakti. After that comes prema, tanravakya kriya mudra vigyeha nabujaya. Prema is very difficult to talk about, and it's very difficult to analyze and understand the activities in mind of a person who's at that stage of prema. In one sense, prema is like bhava, but more intense. It's called surya. Prema is called bhava is called suryamsu. That it's the first ray of the sunlight of prema, just like in the morning, before the sun comes above the horizon, the rays of the sun are showing. So that's like bhava, and it's not different than the sun. It's coming from the sun. But still in prema, there's more. It's the full manifestation, and you could actually see the sun globe in the sky. And then prema, the beginning of prema is not the end, is not everything. There's that Rati, Pranaya, Anurag, I can't remember all of them. There's more and more progression going on, even within prema. And then according to one's taste and according to one's advancement in these different levels of prema, that person is attracted to a certain relationship with Krishna. And that is called Stayi Bhav, which we discussed last month. And when one realizes that his Stayi Bhav, his relationship with Krishna, then it said, Krishna Haya Vasha. Krishna actually comes under the control of such a devotee. Oops. Then throughout those different relationships, the sweetness and the intensity increases more and more, and all the different vibhav, anubhav, all these different elements contribute to increasing the sweetness and the taste of the love. And of all those different relationships, the most prominent of all of them is Sringara, or the conjugal rasa, which has two divisions, Rudha, or advanced, and this is referring to the queens of Dwarka, and Adhiruda, which means really advanced, more advanced, and that refers to the gopis of Vrindavan. And at this Adhiruda stage, there's also two divisions. There's Madana and Mohana, which is meeting and separation, which we heard about in today's verse, Sambhoga and Vipralamba. And now in these three verses today, we're hearing the symptoms of this meeting and separation. So this is a lot. Like I said, I bit off more than I could chew. This is a lot. Prabhupada says in the purport of Yoginam Api Sarvesham, he says, from the beginning of Karma Yoga to the end of Bhakti Yoga is a long way to self-realization. So what we just heard, what we've been studying the past few months, this is also a long way. So from the beginning of Karma Yoga to the end of Bhakti Yoga is a long way. And from, you know, Vaidhi to Raganuga to Bhava to Prema, the Stayi Bhav and all of this up to the category, that's also a long way. And even within Prema, from Rati to Anuraga, I'm not even sure if that's the second one, or Pranaya, whichever it is. That's also a long way. So it's a long, long journey. And it's a journey that never ends. And we think, oh, you attain prema, that's the end. But we see there's more and more development. So this is a lot. What to do with this, it's tricky, it's difficult. Prabhupada always cautioned about Prakriti Sahajyaism. Sahajya means inborn or natural, sahaja, born with. If you're born with something, that's something natural. So devotional service actually is natural. That nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhyaka bunoi, right? It's eternally within the heart. That means it's sahaja. But prakriti sahaja means when you mistake that sahaja nature for being expressed through the material body or through material relationships or through mundane conception, and then it cheapens the entire thing. But it is natural, and it's to be pursued. It's a real thing to be pursued and appreciated and understood, and therefore Prabhupada presented it. So this whole discussion is there, this whole progression is there. I won't do it today, but as a assignment on your own, comparing this discussion with between Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami and comparing it with Ramananda Roy's discussion is very interesting, because they're talking about similar progressions, but they're analyzing it in different ways and looking at it in different ways. And especially with Sanatana Goswami, you could see Mahaprabhu, he's explaining very detailed and technical, almost as if he were preparing Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami for writing a book about it. So this is what's going on. So what do we do with this? How do we appreciate, how do we understand this? And what's its practical import for us? I'll tell a story. It's a mundane story, but I think it's applicable. many years ago. I can't even remember how many years ago. It was a little bit after the passing away of Allen Ginsberg. And on National Public Radio, a poet was being interviewed who had some association with Ginsberg. And he described how he went to a seminar, a long poetry seminar taught by Allen Ginsberg, which he actually did pretty regularly. That's something Allen Ginsberg did at different universities, which teach long involved poetry seminars. And he started off, okay, this kind of poetry has this many syllables in a line, and there's an iamb, which is a short syllable followed by a long syllable, and therefore in Shakespeare we've heard of iambic pentameter, perhaps, which is a short syllable, a long syllable, and that's repeated five times, and then there's dactyls, which is the long syllable first and then the short syllable. And a sonnet has a rhyming scheme, A, B, A, B, C, D, C, D, et cetera, and it's 14 lines. And he went like this for days and days and weeks, explaining these technicalities and examples of past poetry. And finally, someone spoke up in class and said, what's the use of all this, technical knowledge, learning this and that? I just want to express myself. I want to pour out my heart in poetry. And Allen Ginsberg said, if you don't know this foundation, then you won't be able to do that. So I think this is a really good analogy, that if we don't have this foundation of understanding these things, and we think, oh, I don't want to learn all this knowledge or jnana, and I just want to, love Krishna, but we need this foundation. And that foundation for the Vaidhi Bhakti, that foundation is a foundation in good sadhana, in study, in service, in all the things we do that Srila Prabhupada gave us. And for those fortunate persons who come to the stage of Raghunuga, they also learn these things, even more so they could practically engage properly in Krishna's service without committing offenses, without mixing together incompatible tastes of love for Krishna. So this learning has to be there. The heart does have to be there, and the learning has to be there. Prabhupada told, it was a morning walk, and a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, he was trying to understand, how does a devotee see Krishna everywhere? He said, just like if there's a wall, and we look at the wall, do we see Krishna standing on the wall, or do we see Krishna on every brick, or how do we see Krishna everywhere? And Prabhupada explained an analogy he used several times. He said, just like when the mother sees the shoes of the child. When the mother sees the shoes of the child, she doesn't see the shoes, she actually sees her child. So this is how the devotee sees Krishna everywhere, because why does the mother see the child? One, because she has the knowledge that this shoe belongs to my child. So that's part of it, that she has that knowledge, that awareness. This shoe belongs to my child. But I may also see a shoe that belongs to a child, but it doesn't do anything to me. But also because she loves her child. That combined with the knowledge means when she sees the shoe, she sees her child. So the devotee has the knowledge, the sambandha jnana, of how everything is related to Krishna and Krishna's nature, and all of these aspects of Krishna consciousness and his relationship with his devotees. He has that knowledge. And then when his heart gets purified, and nitya siddha Krishna prema, sadyakabu noi shravanadi shuddha chitte korye udoy, through the process of hearing and chanting and devotional service, that love comes out. Then combined with that knowledge, he's able to see Krishna everywhere. So this is what we're getting here. We're getting a means of seeing and experiencing, even vicariously, this intense love for Krishna, and also gaining this technical knowledge about rasa theology, which we also learn. So that combined together allows us to advance. So who is this for? For whom? Just like in beginning of Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami starts his Mangalacharana first to Krishna, then to Mahaprabhu, then to his elder brother Sanatan, who presumably shared his talks with Mahaprabhu, with Srila Rupa Goswami. And then in the fourth Mangalacharna verse, he offers his respects to all the devotees. He says, the devotees are invited to swim in this ocean of the nectar of devotion, and they're just like sharks, or just like the king of fish in the ocean, swimming deeply in that ocean of nectar of devotion. And Srila Jiva Goswami particularly comments that he's not addressing a particular devotee or a particular class or type of devotees, but he's addressing all the devotees. So we're devotees, or we're trying to be devotees, or we're aspiring to be devotees. So we're also included to read this. And also Srila Prabhupada, he was talking about not nectar of devotion, but nectar of instruction. When it was first published, Rameshwar asked him, is this for public distribution? And Prabhupada says, why not for public distribution? Yes, he said, every book is for everyone. And he wanted it also nectar of instruction, which, like what we're reading today, like Nectar of Devotion, contains amazing intimate information. Radha Kund and the position of Radharani, all of this is there. But he also wanted this for distribution. I remember as a new devotee, not even a new devotee, pre-devotee, after I became a life member, and I went away to school, and they gave me a bunch of books, and one of them was Nectar of Devotion, and I remember reading it, and I didn't understand anything. I still don't, but then I didn't hardly even had a context, but it blew my mind. That amazing, emotional, beautiful, funny pastimes that stir your heart, and incredible technical analysis and divisions and categories for the scientific aspect of your brain. And I thought that combination was so brilliant. I have a friend, actually, who I met in an online literature reading group I'm part of. Sometimes I make a pilgrimage to Vyasamtirtha, and it's a literature study group online. And it turned out that this person was a devotee for a few months back in the 80s and then left, not because of any bad experience. The person just unfortunately moved on with their life, but had fond memories of her time as a devotee. And she told me that all these years later, she still reads Nectar of Devotion. Of all of Prabhupada's books, that one she always reads and rereads it. She's not even a believer in any sense, but she loves that book, and she's just captivated by it. So this is the power of these pastimes, and that's going to help her in the long run. And what to speak of those of us, like when Prabhupada said to Rameshwar, every book is for everyone, and he also said, but especially for the devotees. So this is the law book, Nectar of Devotion, and Prabhupada saw fit to give us this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is worthy of study, worthy of reading, I don't think we necessarily have to memorize all the 10 kinds of chitra jalpa, although if someone's inclined, you know, go for it. But absorbing this and learning it and making it part of our regular reading is important. So let's look at the actual verses. First, the chitra jalpa, the 10 kinds of jalpa. First of all, it's very interesting that this whole concept is based on simply 10 verses spoken by Radharani, the Brahmara Gita, in her madness of separation from Krishna when Uddhava visited Vrindavan. Krishna sent Uddhava to pacify the residents of Vrindavan and also to teach Uddhava what real love for Krishna is. I've heard it said sometimes that outside of Vrindavan, Uddhava is like the closest friend of Krishna. But Krishna and his love, who could measure it? Uddhava's love is so amazing. But Krishna wanted to teach him what the love of the gopis is like. And in her madness of missing Krishna, Radharani spoke this Brahmara Gita, the song of the bumblebee. And from those 10 verses, Srila Rupa Goswami analyzed these 10 kinds of chitra jalpa. We're not going to do all of them. That would be maybe preposterous and time-consuming, but I did want to actually look at a couple of them, just to give us a little idea what this is. Let's see. Okay. So all these different kinds of japa are there. The list is there. So the first verse of the Brahmara Gita, the gopi said, another interesting thing is that the verse actually says kachit, that one devotee spoke, some gopi spoke. And of course, it's revealed by the acharyas that gopi was actually Radharani. Just like at the time of the rasa dance, when Anaya Radito Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishwara, one devotee left to be alone with Krishna, who worshipped Krishna, loved Krishna more than any other devotees. So she's not named, but the acharyas revealed that this is Radhika. So she said, "Oh honeybee." In her madness, she started speaking to a honeybee. Actually, one analysis is that she was simply mad speaking to a honeybee. And the other analysis, that in a veiled way, without directly doing it, she was able to sort of criticize Uddhava a little bit on the pretext of talking to a bee. "Oh honeybee, oh friend of a cheater, don't touch my feet with your whiskers, which are smeared with the kumkum that rubbed onto Krishna's garland when it was crushed by the breasts of a rival lover. Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura. One who sends a messenger like you will certainly be ridiculed in the Yadu's assembly." So this is, this is an example of Prajalpa, one of those 10 Chitrajalpa. And Prajalpa is characterized, as analyzed by Rupa Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, by disrespect, envy, jealousy, and pride. So Radhika calling the bumblebee a cheater is envy. The mentioning of a rival lover, that Krishna's garland had kumkum from the breasts of a rival lover, this is jealousy. Telling the bumblebee, "Don't touch my feet, you can't touch my feet," this is pride. And let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura, that's disrespect. And also disrespect to the bee as well. "Oh, you'll be ridiculed in the Yadu assembly." So this is Prajalpa, one of these. And like I said, Radhika's talks here are so unique that they're the foundation of this whole analysis. But we could see facets of it in other places. Just like in the, when Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan also, there's also some talks of the gopis. Is this it? Some gopis also started speaking disparagingly of Krishna. Another gopi protesting Krishna's absence from Vrindavan began to say, "My dear Balaramji, we are of course village girls, so Krishna could cheat us in that way. But what about the women of Dwarka? Don't think that they are as foolish as we are. We village women might be misled by Krishna, but the women in the city of Dwarka are very clever and intelligent. Therefore, I would be surprised if such city women could be misled by Krishna and could believe his words." So this is a similar type of idea, this disrespect, these angry talks, jealous pride and disrespect. So this, but the standard, the paradigm of it is given by Radhika. And then we'll jump to the last verse of the Brahmara Gita. "Oh friend of my dear one," she's still talking to the bumblebee. "Oh friend of my dear one, has my beloved sent you here again? I should honor you, friend, so please choose whatever boon you wish. But why have you come back here to take us to him, whose conjugal love is so difficult to give up? After all, gentle bee, his consort is the goddess Shri, and she is always with him, staying upon his chest." So this is Pratijalpa. And you can see complete different mood from the first verse. Here she's submissive, and instead of disrespecting, she's offering respect, respect. Instead of pride, she's expressing humility. Prajalpa is characterized by humility, feeling unworthy to attain the lover, but hope against hope of that attainment, and full of respect. Hopeless because, oh, Krishna always has Lakshmi on his chest. So Lakshmi is the most beautiful, the most elevated, the most perfect in every way. So what chance do we have of attaining Krishna if he always has Shri on his chest? But still they're hoping. And hopelessness. Oh, Krishna's so far away. And you're just a little bee. How could you even bring me there? And instead of disrespect, offering respect, I should honor you and offer you boons to the bumblebee, she's saying. And also maybe even feeling a little guilt that I spoke so harshly to you before. So this is the madness of love. Chitrajalpa specifically manifests through Radharani's talks. Like I said, I bit off more than I could chew, and there's a lot here, but I want to quickly go through the next two verses. Text 61 expresses two more symptoms of madana, or the ecstasy of separation. The first is udgorna. Gorna literally means like whirling around. So udgorna is like utgorna, means like really spinning around, like your head is spinning, whirling around. It's like a mental state of complete discombobulation, a mental madness or confusion. So this is udgorna. And the other one mentioned is vivisha chesta. Vivisha chesta also means complete. Vivisha is like unregulated or uncontrolled, and chesta means activities or behavior. So, and Prabhupada says it's expressed by the gopis becoming boastful and even thinking, oh, I'm Krishna, behaving like they're Krishna. And this is another nice instance, which we also remember from the Rasa dance, perhaps. If I could find it, hopefully. Krishna's hiding from the gopis, Krishna book. When Krishna suddenly disappeared from the company of the gopis, they began to search for him in every place. After not finding him anywhere, they became afraid and almost mad after him. They were simply thinking of the pastimes of Krishna in great love and affection. Being absorbed in thought, they experienced loss of memory, and with dampened eyes, they began to see the very pastimes of Krishna, his beautiful talks with them, his embracing, kissing, and other activities. Being so attracted to Krishna, they began to imitate his dancing, his walking, and smiling, as if they themselves were Krishna. So this is vivisha chesta, this mad behavior. So chitrajalpa is madness through talking. Udgorna is madness of the mind. And vivisha chesta is madness of the activities, the practical activities. So mind, body, and words, right? This is the trio in all, you know, we hear, you know, rid vagva purbir, that you offer your obeisances with rid vagva, with your mind, your body, and your words. Or what's the other? Karmana manasa gira nikala shvapyava. What's that? How's that start? Yeah, jivan mukta suuchite. When karmana manasa gira, when body, mind, and words. So this is the totality of your existence, is your mind, body, and words. So this madness of the gopis, this madness of Radhika, is mentioned in these three categories, by the words, by their mind, by the body. So this is the total madness that Radhika and the gopis are experiencing. And finally, in text 62, super briefly, it's describing how Vipralamba and Samboga, although they're two different things, they're always going in and out of each other. Just like the different kinds of Samboga are described, but they're described in terms of the kind of separation that they come from. If it comes from Purvaraga, then it's a certain type and a certain flavor of separation. And if it's separation by a short distance, it's another variety. If it's separation by a long distance, it's another variety. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says that the separation cultivates the emotion that leads back to the meeting, to the Sambhoga. So this is the nature of this separation and meeting, that they're always swimming in and out of each other, and in some cases they're practically indistinguishable from each other. That in separation, they're feeling like meeting, they're feeling they're meeting Krishna. Or when meeting with Krishna, they're feeling separation. So, like I said, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot to digest. It takes, you know, a lifetime or many lifetimes to even begin to digest this a little bit. So, and the caution is there. Always the caution has to be there to understand it properly. So how do we understand it properly? There's many things, but one simple thing is that just like we're reading this today, because it came up in the course of our regular reading. So if we're doing regular reading of Srila Prabhupada's books, and this comes up, and we relish it deeply, and then we go on reading Srila Prabhupada's books, all of Srila Prabhupada's books, that will go a long way to help prevent us from having misconceptions. Favorite verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ye lila amrita vine kaya yadi anapane tad bhaktera durbal jivan. This is a beautiful analogy. It said, just like if you eat a good, healthy diet, then you become stout and strong. But if you don't, you become weak. So similarly, ye lila amrita vine, if you don't regularly imbibe the lila amrita, the nectar of Krishna Katha, then tad bhaktera durbal jivan. Just like if you eat well and go to the gym, you get bal jivan. Bal means strength, like Balaram, right? But if you don't drink the nectar of Krishna Katha, then durbal jivan, then you'll become weak. But yare eka bindu pane utpalita tanumane hase gaya kareya nartan. But if you do imbibe this Krishna Katha, eka bindu pane, even if you just drink just a drop of it, then utpalita tanumani. Utpalita is another nice word. We know pool is flower. Even in Hindi, I think pool is flower, right? So utpalita, you blossom like a flower blooming, like a rose blooming and becoming beautiful and the scent coming out. So you take just a drop of this nectar of Krishna Katha, and utpalita tanumani, tanu and mana, your body and mind all bloom in ecstasy. And what happens? Hase gaya karye nartan, you laugh, you sing, and you dance in ecstasy. So hase gaya karye nartan, this is not just singing, dancing, and laughing. These are actual symptoms of ecstasy on the stage of bhava, on the stage of prema. And in the purport, the real point, Prabhupada in the purport says that if one does not read all of the books I have given, and he mentions, I think, in the purport, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, maybe Nectar of Devotion, I can't remember exactly, but he mentions the books that had been published at the time. If one doesn't read all of these books, then the devotees will simply eat, sleep, and fall down. If you don't read all of my books, he said. So if we read all of his books, then yes, we're going to read Chaitanya Charitamrita and the teachings of Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, and we're also going to finish that and read the Bhagavatam and read the Bhagavad Gita and read Nectar of Devotion and everything. And if you do that, you'll be protected to a large degree from getting these different nonsense imbalances of Prakriti Sahajism and such. When Prabhupada says, read all my books, first of all, we have to have a regular program of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, all of them. And all of my books means we don't only read this chapter, even if you read it every day. We don't only read this. We read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. Just like going back to that verse, that if you eat a good diet, you'll become strong. So the good diet for reading is all of Srila Prabhupada's books. And then you won't, that will protect you from having these different misunderstandings. You read this and relish it and think, and if you want to read it so much that you just want to read it, then okay, let me get through reading Bhagavad Gita again and reading Srimad Bhagavatam again. So, and then I'll read this again, and then when you come back to it, you'll appreciate it even more. The other verse I was thinking of from the Bhagavatam that it's getting late. Shrinvatam Shradaya Nityam Greenatas Cha Swacheshtitam. That Shrinvatam Shradaya, you hear it with faith. And Nityam, Shrinvatam Shradaya Nityam. What does Nitya mean? Shrinvatam Nitya means hearing, Nitya means eternally. But eternally means different things. It means eternally means that there's never a point when you're so advanced that you don't need to hear these things anymore. So you go on hearing it eternally. Another meaning of eternally is that you're always reading. Every second of the day you have time. Prabhupada told Satsarup Maharaj, if you ever have time, you read my books. So that's another meaning of nitya. And another meaning of nitya means regularly, that we should have a regular schedule, that we sit down and we should read Srila Prabhupada's books. Every day some time is set aside regularly to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And Greenatas Cha Swacheshtitam. Again, this word cheshta, just like Vivisha Cheshta means the activities of madness. So Swacheshta means our own activities, our own endeavor has to be dedicated to this process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Greenatas Cha Swacheshtitam. Then what's the result? Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Riddhi. Then in a very short time, Krishna will manifest in our heart. So there's many things, you know, of many activities of devotional service, ways to keep ourselves sane and on the right track and purified and behaving properly. But today I'm stressing regularly reading Srila Prabhupada's books. This will carry us through everything. He went to so much trouble. I think it could be argued that it was his main contribution to the world, and he certainly put unlimited energy into it. So then we could appreciate and understand it, and kalena nati dirgena, in a short amount of time, however short that time is, Prabhupada had hopes in this life of attaining that, but even if it takes, you know, some more lives, that's also a short period of time in comparison to the virtual infinity of time that we've spent in this material world. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, everybody, for your kind attention. If there's any questions or comments, we can discuss. Like I said, it was a lot. There's a lot there.
Yeah, I don't think I could pass the quiz if you had it on the verses, that's for sure. But I can take away the importance of reading Prabhupada's books always, always, every day. I do have a couple questions. You know, from Shraddha to Prema, they say or have heard that when you get to Nista, that's like the top of the hill. You know, it's like climbing against the current, if you want to say, to the top, and then Nista, then it's, you know, pretty, but you're saying there's such a distance between the nuances of all those categories after, so.
I think both can be true, and I haven't heard it specifically said, but I agree that when you actually start getting a genuine taste for Krishna, for devotional service, there is a change, there is a kind of momentum to your devotional service that may not be there when you're simply following rules and regulations. So I agree with that, but it's still a lot. It's still, you know, a long way, a long haul. So I think both can be true. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. This word prajalpa, we use the word prajalpa, or Prabhupada even used it, meaning mundane conversation, village talk, but it doesn't seem to be quite that same definition here.
Yeah, I think words have sort of like, how would I say, like colloquial meanings and technical meanings. Just like, who was it? Was it? I think it was Pushkar Prabhu in his class who said, who mentioned in passing, just like we call the materialistic people karmis, when actually more technically they're vikarmis. So there's a more technical use and there's a sort of colloquial use. Or just like the word bhava. Bhava could just mean someone who's emotional, or it could mean bhava on the stage of bhava bhakti, which is before prema. Or in technical usage, it's one of those categories after prema. The rati, anuraga, pranaya, bhava, and mahobhav. So that different words can have different technical meanings in certain circumstances. So that's how I see it. That prajalpa, when we're commonly talking, means nonsense talk, but it has a specific technical use here. Yes.
Very nice class, thank you. I appreciated the example you gave of Allen Ginsberg and creating the base to be everything else. But I also remember the verse, I can't think of the Sanskrit right now, but for one who has implicit faith in the spiritual master and the scriptures, that all the purports of the Vedas will be revealed. So that's there also, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of things that are the foundation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like going to the activities of devotional service in Nectar of Devotion, in the beginning, there's that accepting a spiritual master, serving a spiritual master, are like the first two or three, I can't remember right now, in that list are in reference to serving the spiritual master. So that's so important, so foundational. And having good sadhana is foundational, and reading Sri Yudhila Prabhupada's books are foundational, and there's a lot of things. And that's a class in itself about how surrendering to Krishna's representative also brings us up this path, up to the stage of bhava and prema, these things we're learning here. And if we try to learn this without a spiritual master, then we're going to be frustrated also. So yeah, that's an important point. I look at one angle here, but there's a dozen other angles, or 100, or unlimited other angles. But worth remembering, yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. Excellent. And I think we are in the same boat, because in my mind it came to the idea that when you know certain math, very materialistic topic, but certain math, some other math is so far away that it's like, let me get the first step, you know, before I get to that higher level. So I felt immediately like, okay, I'm really like, it's too far away from me to even get into that, you know. So what do you think about that idea, like saying, okay, stick to the basics, you know, and then go to more deeper level of these details, you know?
Yeah. Now, I'm not a fan of this stuff, but some of these like self-help people or motivational speakers, they talk about that you need short-term goals and you need long-term goals. So you keep both of those together at the same time. Just like, you know, if you're a business person, you think, okay, I want to incorporate my business and start a product. And the long-term goal is, oh, I make $1 million. So we could do in devotional, my short-term goals, make sure I'm, you know, attending the temple, make sure I'm reading every day, make sure I'm chanting nicely. And long-term goals, I want to, you know, more and more, you know, express my love for Krishna and develop my love for Krishna and start, you know, appreciating his pastimes. And so we can have long-term and short-term goals, I think, and sort of cultivate both at the same time, according to where we are, and that'll be different for different people. Does that make any sense? Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Oh. Whoever holds the conch shell gets to speak.
Unlimited and there's
Absolutely. Yeah, Prabhupada, what is it? That if you're interested in a logic and reason, then apply it to the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't remember the verse, but it says that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And, yeah. Oh, and just like you said, you know, study my books threadbare. So he wanted us to intellectually engage with that. Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, he also said one time, he said, you just sit in the temple. You don't do anything else. You sit in the temple, and when there's some class, you simply hear. He said, even you don't understand. Understanding is not very important. You simply sit and hear. So both are there. Yes. Yeah, and you know, different people will have different balances in their life of intellectual understanding and just relishing the hearing, or at different stages of our life, we may have different balances, but both are there. It's getting late, so one more.
So, when Mataji was talking about how the nishtha is in the middle, and there's after nishtha, it gets easier. There's apparently a quote by Vishnanatha Chakravarti Thakur who says, that at nishtha, the pull of the material energy and the spiritual energy is equal. And after that, the spiritual energy is pulling us further. And therefore, even though there may be a long distance between the stages on the downside, we're being pulled ahead by our attachment to Krishna, so it won't feel as long as it does going up.
Anyway, nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
And the verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita with the purport that we should read all his books, that's Madhya 25-278. It's very important, so if anybody wants to look it up, that's what it is. Madhya 25-278.
Yeah, I love that verse.
Regarding I lived here 11 years, and I would give a class like 5 nights a week, and I would read 10 minutes from the Nectar of Devotion. Like every year I went through that book. And it's just so amazing to have all these amazing ecstasies in your mind to inspire us to keep going, and what we'll get, you know, if we you know, complete the process. So it was motivation. And one last thing regarding Prajalpa, there, somebody made a nice joke. The gopis' Prajalpa is taking them back to Godhead, and our Prajalpa is keeping us in the material world.
Right.
Thank you for your class.
Hare Krishna. Also, if anyone's interested in the BBT 10th canto, those verses of the Brahmara Gita in the purports, they do include the relevant Ujjwala Nilamani verses that describe each of the 10 kinds of Chitrajalpa. So if you're inclined, it's, you know, very interesting and relishable to go over that section, so you could actually, as I did a super brief analysis, you could actually, you know, read it yourself and get some of it there.
Is that where you got the detail from that you spoke about?
Yes. Yes, that's where I got that from. I thought that was a good idea to include those Ujjwala Nilamani verses in the purport, so we could understand the analysis. So that's good, without having to go out and buy some Ujjwala Nilamani. Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for your kind attention, for bearing with me. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.